chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That don't mean foolish preaching. That means foolishness. That word foolishness means simplicity. The gospel is real simple. And God's chosen that to save them that are lost. Amen? So I want to preach to you a few minutes this morning. Hope it'll be a blessing to you in Ephesians chapter number 5. Amen. Are we up and running back here, Travis? Amen. Good deal. Good to be saved, ain't it? Ephesians chapter 5, I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture this morning and try to be led of the Lord. Look at verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's go ahead and read verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, we sung some good songs this morning. I'm going to do something a little different, a little unusual. I want to preach about and talk about a song this morning. Amen. What do I want to preach about? The Bible said here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. Now the Bible didn't say here to imitate Jungle Thump or a rock concert or a nasal whining concert, but he said psalms. He said spiritual songs and psalms and hymns. Amen. And what I want to talk to you about tonight, this morning, I want to take one of the most familiar, one of the most famous hymns that you've ever heard, and I want to preach on it. And the hymn is this, Just As I Am. Just As I Am. Some of the greatest messages that's ever been presented to mankind about the Lord Jesus Christ down through the years, in the past 100 years, 200 years, is in your hymn book. Some of the most neglected things in churches today is the hymn book. You open that hymn book, start reading most of them songs we don't even know. You start reading them, some of the words of those songs, it's amazing how God inspired and touched men and women to sit down and write some of those songs. A couple just went through my head this morning. I was putting this together. I've been working on this for a couple of weeks, but this morning I got to thinking about some of the songs that mean a lot and that really say something. You know those 7-Eleven songs that people use nowadays in churches? You know what they are, don't you? Those seven words, they just repeat them 11 times. They don't really say anything. But them old songs say something. Listen to this one. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Here's another one. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, finding me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. One of our favorites we sing around here, we sung it this morning. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. I'd get a request for verse number 2. Amen. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealing my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring. Then anew his song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I want to say these songs this morning that I'm quoting to you, I'm telling you they got something in them, brother. They'll help you if you listen to them. I thank God this morning that this blessed old hymn, Just As I Am, it means something. And there's something in this song I want to preach to you this morning.
Amen. That's good.
I want to say, first of all, that you don't get your gospel through singing. Now, my family's been in the gospel singing business all my life. My whole family, where I came from, everybody in their family. I mean, if you couldn't pick a guitar and if you couldn't hack a little bit and preach and carry a tune, they'd kick you out and let you be adopted somewhere down the road. You wasn't even part of the family. Amen. But I'm just saying, I ain't saying we're good at it, but I'm saying we've been doing it. But I want to tell you one thing, brother and sister. I already said it. My food comes straight out of the Word of God. It don't come through some gospel group or some quartet. And I know there's some good ones out there. I know there's somebody that love God and they're trying to be a blessing and a help. But I want to tell you, brother, you don't sing the gospel. You sing the praises of God, but the gospel is preached through the word of God by the man of God. I want to tell you, I thank God this morning that this old blessed hymn, just as I am, it's probably been sung more than any other invitational hymn down through the centuries of time. I want to give you what the Lord laid on my heart, and I'll let you go. First of all, I want you to look with me this morning at the plea. Number one, the plea says this, just as I am, without one plea, without one plea. That's me. I don't have a plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Here's what the songwriter was saying. He said, Lord, I don't have a plea. I'm not begging you to save me. I was lost in a none without God or His Son. When His hand reached way down for me, and listen, when I was lost and going to hell, running up down these roads, ripping and snorting and smoking and doping and drinking and raising hell, I didn't give God a second thought. Oh, but I want to tell you, the plea is not on my part, but it's on His part. He said, Son, come unto me and I'll save you. Amen. Just as I am, without one plea. I didn't have any plea. I didn't have anything to give. I didn't have anything to offer. But He said, but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, brother, when that came to me one day, I realized that's what it takes to get saved. I've said it over and over and over. Religion is man's attempt to reach up to God and to do something so God will approve of him and accept him in, but that won't help you. But salvation is God reaching down to man and doing for man what man can't do for himself. Oh, I want to tell you, thy blood was shed for me. Oh, when I realized one day I was lost and going to hell without hope and without God, and that God was speaking to my heart and He was my only hope, I want to thank God this morning. I realized the plea was on His behalf, that He was reaching out to me. I remember as a little boy, I remember sitting on the front row, sitting there squirming and wiggling, my daddy preaching like this. I remember the Holy Spirit pleading with me, trying to get me to come. You might be sitting here this morning. You might come to church here. You might come all the time. I don't know people's heart. You might be some of the preacher's kids or the deacon's kids, or you might teach Sunday school for all I know. I hope not. I hope you're not lost. But I want to tell you what, God is reaching down. If He's touching your heart, you need to answer that plea. Well, I remember sitting there on the front row, the second row, and as I got older, you know how teenagers are. They think they know everything. And I started sliding back toward the back. I went from the front row to the back row. I went from hero to zero, amen. And I'd sit back there and listen to my daddy preach, and that same pleading calls, that same Holy Spirit was touching my heart, and He was speaking to me saying, son, you know what He says, right? God may be speaking to some of you young people this morning, and you're sitting there thinking, I don't care what He says, I'm going to go out and have me some fun, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to say this to you. You look me in the eye and you hear me, and hear me well. You may go out there and live it up, but bless God Almighty, you won't live it down. You're going to live with that the rest of your life, and the scars of that sin will follow you till they put you in a coffin and drop you 6 foot in the ground. Amen. You never get away from it. Amen. I'm going to tell you what the plea. He said, but that thou bidst me come to thee. I want you to notice number two is the problem. The next verse said, just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. Amen. I want you to think about this a minute. Put me a dark blot on there, would you? Mark something on there for me. She's my illustrator. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. Here's what I like about these old songs. To thee whose blood cleans each spot. You know, a lot of these new songs don't say nothing. I heard a song the other day on the radio on a gospel station up the road. It's not the one I'm on, but another one. And they was singing some song. It was a pretty song. I mean, really. But it kind of reminded you of something you'd hear in a honky-tonk. I mean, it was pretty. It applied to the flesh, but it didn't say nothing about God nowhere in it. It didn't say nothing about redemption. It didn't say nothing about the blood. It didn't say anything about forgiveness. It didn't say nothing about heartbroken sinners coming to the foot of Calvary. It was just talking about ground or mama or something like that. I don't even know what it's talking about. It sounded good. It appealed to the flesh, but it didn't do anything for your soul. Amen. That'll work. Don't you look at this morning. Don't you notice he said, just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. Don't you look at that this morning, that pretty white, look at that pretty white Kleenex. It's pretty, ain't it? Clean, crystal clear, clean, white as it can be. I mean, snow white. You thought I was a white man, D-Saw-B. Hold this up beside me. I ain't really white, am I? I'm a Caucasian. We're all kind of shades, amen? Listen, don't get all racial on me here. I'm just trying to make an illustration. But this Kleenex here, it's white. It's snow white. It's as white as that wall. But you know what? Did you notice it's got a dark blot on it? You know what? That's the way you are. That's the way you been. That's the way you was born. You're born with a dark blot on you. Here's what people's problem is. They say, well, preacher, I don't need to go to your church. I'm a pretty good person. I don't do anything bad. I don't cuss. I don't do anybody wrong. I pay my bills. I work and all that stuff. What's the big deal about that? The skunks and squirrels do that too. They work, provide for their family. I don't mean they're saved. But I want to tell you this, you're born in sin. You say, preacher, I don't drink and I don't cuss. That may be true. But you still got a dark blot on you. And what is that dark blot? That blot is sin. Amen? This is why I've never told a lie. I wish that's a lie. Everybody has, because the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Everybody's lied at some point in their life. Even George Washington, when he cut down a cherry tree, somewhere along the line, he told a lie. He's a politician, wasn't he? Yeah. Case closed. They all lie. You know, you can tell when a politician's lying, his lips move. But you're born with this. You inherit it from your daddy. I'm not talking about your biological daddy. I'm talking about Adam. Your father Adam went back there, way back there in the Garden of Eden. Him and Mother Eve committed a sin, and it got sin in our bloodstream. And brother, you inherited that, and you was born with it. That's exactly why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've got to be born again. It don't matter how good you think you are, how high up you are on the social ladder, how clean you live, how much you go to church, how many times you've been dunked in the baptistry. Bless God. If you ain't born again, you're going straight to hell like a runaway train. He said, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again except he enters, shall he enter his mother? He's being sarcastic. Can he enter into his mother's womb again? Jesus said, that that's born of flesh is flesh, and that that's born of spirit is spirit. See, a natural man cannot receive the things of God. He can't understand them. But what he's saying here is, you're born wrong the first time. That's why you got to get born again the second time. Amen. People say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, there's been a lot of pretty good people. Here's what the Bible said. Now, we don't really care what, we really don't care what these sweet smiling preachers tell everybody. It's got these stadium fulls of people, you know, and they got them big old goofy looking smiles. Look like a puppet. We don't care what they say. All we care is what that book says, because that's what we're going to be judged by on the day of judgment. Now, the Bible said you're a sinner. He said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It don't matter how good you are or how good you think you are, you still come up short. The Bible said your righteousness is as filthy rags. The best you can do is like dirty, rotten, stinking rags. You said, preacher, you're awful mean to us. Hey, no, I ain't. I'm throwing me right in the same mud. I'm just as dirty, rotten, stinking as you are. We're filthy sinners outside of the grace of God. And that's why the book said you must be born again. Amen. Just as I'm waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. How do you rid yourself of that dark blot? You know how those old monks in those monasteries do? They'll walk around and they'll have a vow of silence. I know some people wish their wife would become a monk. And this hush. You hear about that guy's wife fell out of the car, Brother Jeff? Patrolman pulled him up and said, sir, your wife fell out 10 miles back. He said, well, good gracious, I just thought I went deaf. But here's what them Roman Catholics would do. They carry around a big sack of heavy laden burdens, and they try to punish themselves long enough till they feel like they've done penance. In other words, I've done enough, I've punished this whole body enough to where God surely would accept me. But God looks down and shakes his head and says, no, that's not good enough. My darling son died on the cruel Roman cross of Calvary and shed his sinless perfect blood for you, and he is the atonement for our sin, and that and nothing else will get you through. Amen. That's the problem. You're a sinner. Amen. Oh, Lamb of God, I come just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. That's the problem. You're blemished. I know there's people in the world think they're perfect. You know, everybody thought Elvis was perfect. He looked so good and sung so good. Sung, had a beautiful voice and handsome, got all the girls and beat up all the bad guys. I mean, he was everything. You know what will happen to old Elvis? He died alone. They call him the king. He must have been because he's on the throne when he kicked the bucket. That's right. And did you know when Elvis died, when they did an autopsy on him, they said he had enough drugs in him to fill up a drugstore. Was he perfect? No. You're idolizing the wrong person. Listen, when Michael Jackson died, and everybody knows what a mixed up pervert he was, brother, there's people just about worshiped him. And brother, he was nothing but a man. Well, I think he was. I ain't really sure about that, really, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at him, you couldn't tell. But I'm just saying, people are worshiping the wrong person. They look up to man, but man is a failure, and everything man does is vanity.
Amen.
That's the problem. Number three, the next verse is the perplexities, the plea and the problem, the perplexities. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen.
Now, we can live with perplexities. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Listen, your life may be a series of perplexing events, but I want to tell you what, not only does this song say it's speaking to lost people, but it's also speaking to a saved person. When your life is mixed up, messed up, and confused, and your life seems like scrambled eggs, and you can't unscramble them, he said, just as I am, just come to the Lord. All you need to do is just come to, you remember that? You remember that little nursery rhyme? They said, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Amen.
You know what they failed to say? The king's horses couldn't put him together, and the king's men couldn't put him together. But I want to tell you this morning, the king can put him together.
Amen.
The king can put Humpty Dumpty back together. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ, he will sweep up the loose ends of your life. He'll put your life back together. You say, preacher, my life is a mess. You just don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like. But I want to tell you this, even though you're living in a time of perplexity, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ says, come. He said, those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Many a conflict, many a doubt. Do you feel like you're in conflict sometimes? Do you feel doubtful? Fightings and fears within and without. Sometimes the fightings are within, sometimes they're without. Sometimes it's within me, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's me giving me the trouble, sometimes it's the world. Sometimes it's the world, sometimes it's the flesh, and sometimes it's the devil. But it's perplexing. He said, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without. O Lamb of God, I come. Listen to this. They say according to the Bureau of Standards in Washington, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of less than 1 glass of water. That amount of water is divided into about 60 billion tiny droplets. Yet when those minute particles settle over a city of the countryside, they almost blot out everything of your life. What are you saying, preacher? When you're going through life and it's a great big fog, just try to remember that God's looking at it and he'll condense it down. It'll be just less than a glass of water. I know it looks bad. I know it looks dim. And I know the fog is hard and dense and things look rough and you're on those rocky, stony, lonely, dirt places. But I want to tell you, brother, the Bible said there in this song, he said, just as I am, he said, though tossed about, I get tossed to and fro in the storms of life, but thank God I know where my help comes from. Sometimes your life is a mess. It's not only you that's in it, but somebody else is in it with you. Listen, but if you'll just trust in the Lord and you'll just go to Him just as you are, He said, though I'm tossed about with many a conflict. I've had a few battles in my life, haven't you?
Amen.
The plea and the problem, perplexities. And number four, the promise. I like this one. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Now, I'll tell you what that promise is. He said, thou wilt receive all that the Father giveth to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. I want to tell you something this morning. He'll receive you. You say, well, preacher, I've just been so bad. I've done things. Listen, I've seen people saved that's way worse than you are. I've seen people get saved way worse than I am. I preached in the prison one time. This guy come up and got saved. He come up and shook my hand. Looked like a just average Joe. He said, well, I guess I ought to tell you what I'm in here for. I thought, no, I don't care why you're in here. I'm just glad you got saved. He said, I'm in here for capital murder. He said, I've got a life sentence. I'll never get out. But he said, I'm glad God set me free from something worse than this. He'll receive you.
He'll welcome you. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, we'll receive, we'll welcome. Listen, I want you to know you're welcome. You might not be welcome in a lot of places, but you're welcome at the foot of the cross. Listen, you're the one Jesus died for. Not only that, but he said, pardon. Receive, welcome, and pardon. Colossians 1, 14, and said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm glad we've been pardoned, ain't you? You know what pardon is? That means forgiven. He also said cleansed. I'm glad we can get cleansed. Revelation 1, 5, and said, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I want to tell you something this morning, folks. I'm glad not only God saved me and forgave me, but I'm glad he cleansed me. Listen, the day I got saved, I didn't feel dirty anymore. I used to go to bed at night with that guilt hanging over me, and that shame and that guilt and that dirty feeling like I'd done something wrong, and I had. I was living wrong against the Holy God. But I want you to know, if you'll come to him just as you are, he'll receive you and welcome you. He'll pardon you and he'll cleanse you.
Amen.
And he'll relieve you. Isaiah 26, 3 said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I'm glad I got relief the day I got saved.
Amen.
Wasn't it a relief? Do you remember the day you got saved? If you can't remember the day you got saved, you might all think about it. You know, I don't think about, is there a day? You might not know the day or the date or even the month. There's got to be a time in your life you can say, I remember back yonder's when it all happened. That's when I got saved. Most everybody can remember when they got saved. Amen? And I want you to know it was a relief. I got tired of carrying that burden. I got tired of living that life. I got tired of trying to keep up with the world. I got tired of what the devil's doing to me, what the world's doing to me. I got tired of what I was doing to me. Oh, but I want to tell you, when I got saved, gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, man, it was like a sigh of relief. It's like, thank God. I'm glad I finally quit running. And I got me a good old dose, Brother Sam. I got on the spot where the glory comes out. And brother, it's been a relief to me ever since.
Amen.
He'll relieve you.
Amen. Come on with it.
Because thy promise, I believe. Here's the promise. Acts 2:39 said, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's not for just fine, upstanding, decent people. As a matter of fact, it's for the dirty, low down, rotten sinners. Jesus said, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. He said, listen, those that are well don't need a physician. Listen, people that are sick don't go to the doctor. I've heard people say, well, I don't even go to the doctor, I'll get sick. Join the club. That's what we all do. Anybody goes to the doctor and ain't sick, something wrong with them mentally. I know you go for a checkup once a year. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you don't go to the doctor and just sit around that waiting room for 3 hours and go sit back there with a dress that don't button in the back for another hour. And wait for them to come in, ask you how you are, and what you're doing there. Last time I went to the doctor, well, not the last time, one before that, doctor asked me what was wrong, and I told him what was wrong, and he said, yep, you're right, $75. I said, I shouldn't have to pay for that. Should you? If I diagnose it and know what it is, all I want him to do is write a prescription. I'd do that too if I could. I know what I need, doc. I guess that's what they get paid for. Amen? Well, they're not all crooked. Amen? Just like all preachers ain't crooked. Praise the Lord. But the promise is that he'll save you. Just as I am. Ronnie, come to the piano. Think about this morning. To the woman at the well, you could say, she'd say, you just don't understand the kind of life I've lived. I've been married 5 times. When you hear people been married 5 times, you think, dear Lord, something's wrong. I mean, somebody's been divorced and remarried, and you can understand anything can happen. 50% divorce rate, anything can happen. Anybody can happen to them one time. 4 and 5 times. I had an uncle married 5 times. I started thinking, he ain't married bad women every time. In 5 tries, you're bound to hit lucky and get a good one. Ain't that right? Brother Jeff, I honestly believe if I was married 5 or 6 times, I believe I'd just hit lucky at least one time. Thank God. Praise the Lord. And I ain't going to try that. I'm just saying, I don't know what got me off on that. But she said, I've been married 5 times. He said, thou hast well said, and the one you live with now is not your husband. Conviction. Okay? She said, I've done all this stuff, and I've been living a bad life, and I can't seem to find what I'm looking for. You know what Jesus was saying? Just come just as you are. She might have said, well, Lord, I got a man I'm living with. I need to straighten that out. No, you don't need to straighten it out. Come to me and I'll straighten it out. People's got this thing backwards. When I get my life cleaned up, I'm going to go to church and straighten up. No, that ain't how you do it. When you get run over by a car, you don't say, when I get my bones put back in my body, get the blood stopped off, call the ambulance. No, you say, call the ambulance, somebody help me.
That's right.
That's what a church is for. It's a hospital for sinners. It ain't a club for the saints. Oh, Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree. He knew he was a sinner. Jesus said, come down out of that tree. I'm going to have supper with you today. That's scriptural proof. You're supposed to take the preacher home for dinner. Preach it, brother. Amen. You know what he said? He could have said, you know what, Lord? I'm not worthy for you to come to my house because I've wronged people. I've took money off people wrongfully. Jesus said, just come just as you are, Zacchaeus. Just as you are. I don't need you to clean up. That's my job. That's what I do. I've seen people look at folks and say, preacher, he's got long hair and earrings in his snout, earrings in his ear. He got earrings all over the place and tattoos all over his body. So what? Brother, let God clean them up.
Amen.
Our problem is we want to clean the fish before we even catch them. Philippian jailer, he had mistreated Paul and Silas. In Acts 16, they was praising God and the jail doors flew open. He started to commit suicide. Paul said, just come as you are. And he said, but you know what I've done. He beat them. And when he got saved, he took them home and washed their stripes and fed them. That's another scripture to prove you're supposed to take a preacher home for dinner. I just feel the Lord in that. Come as you are. And the last person I want to mention is the thief on the cross was hanging there. Nobody likes a thief. There he hung, dying. Blood running out of his body, suffering beside the darling Lamb of God. And he said, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Now Jesus didn't say, well, what I need you to do is go get down off this cross and see if you can go straighten out some of this stuff and try to make amends and really need to clean up a little bit. You look pretty bad. You need to cut your hair and wash up, wash your face and get that old earring out of you. I don't know why I'm saying that about the earrings, but anyway, sometimes we're too hard on people. That's what I'm getting at. And you need to join the church and then come back. Well, he said, just come as you are. You know what I've seen people? I've seen people walk out of the church under conviction and go get in their car and go home lost because they just thought, I got this one little thing in my life I just can't give up. I can't. Me and Debbie witnessed to a girl in Walmart parking lot one time. Black lady. And she worked there. We got to witnessing her and she started confessing her sins and I didn't want to hear it really. That's not my job. I said, you just need it. And she said, I know what my problem is. She started telling us. And Debbie said, well, you just need to get saved. And the Lord will help you straighten that stuff out. And the more we talked, the more she realized, I don't have to straighten my life out and then come. What are you saying? Just as I am. That's what the whole song's about. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot.
That's right.
Just like you are. You come to the Lord this morning. Did you know that girl knelt down there in a Walmart parking lot and got saved? You see, when we go out here and knock on these doors, we're not trying to proselyte and say, you look like you might fit our church if you do so and so. No, you just come just like you are.
That's right.
And you get up here at the foot of Calvary. Matter of fact, if you'd have seen me the night I got saved, I didn't look near as good as I do now. Somebody said, boy, you must look rough, preacher. I did. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I was just a long-haired hippie, redneck, sitting out in the car in front of my house waiting for church people to leave. They'd all come over at Mom and Daddy's. I was sitting in there. They was fellowshipping. And I was just sitting there smoking a cigarette, just waiting. That's probably high, truth be known. Just sitting there waiting. Dear Lord, them people get on my nerves. I go sneak in the back door, but I figured somebody be at the back door. You know how Christians are. And I was sitting there, and I did look rough and probably smelled rough. And I finally got out and walked in the house, and when I walked in the door, they was just getting ready to get down to pray. And I ran as far as I could run, and I just collapsed there on the floor at the couch and started praying. Something happened to me that night.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What did you do, preacher?
Amen.
He took me just as I was.
Amen.
And turned my life around. Over 30 years, it's been different. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed.